God gave them a choice. You can believe me or not believe me. You can eat of the tree. You can eat of the tree of life. You can have the fruit off of here, but don't eat of, or eat of, I get it reversed. You can eat of any other tree, but do not eat this one. There was a choice that was made. You had Eve made a choice based on some presumptions by the serpent in the garden. And she chose to believe that rascal instead of the very God of the universe. And Adam followed up and gave his life for her and partook of the fruit as well. So right from the beginning, we see God's faithfulness to his people. Even his people, the chosen nation of Israel, God is faithful. His promises are without repentance. Romans 11:29. His promises to them are without repentance. He will be faithful enough, and Jesus will come and set his feet on this earth once again, establishing the Messianic kingdom. He's faithful. He's faithful to keep his promises. How many people have ever heard of a group, a movement called the Promise Keepers? I always thought that was wrong from the beginning. Promise Keepers. If you think you can make all those promises, you're a liar. Guess what that makes you? You're a sinner. Amen. God is the Promise Keeper. He's the one that has yeas are yea and amen. That's all he desires for us. Let your yes be yes. Just trust him for all things. So we looked at the faithful of God today. Today we're looking at the next part. The Lord is faithful. Well, here's what he's faithful to do. Right here, the second part. Who shall establish you? All right. Once you're saved, I remember this. I was everywhere. I just wanted to know everything about Jesus. I read about Jesus from every single source there was. 9/10 of them were wrong because there's so much scholarship out there that's so wrong. So much liberal scholarship that would have Jesus being just a created being, etc., etc. But the Lord is faithful. Who shall establish you? Now, it's interesting. We have the modern word establish, which is also used in the King James Bible. It's establish and establish. I've been through times where I've seen that people will make a big deal. If your Bible says establish in it, you have a corrupt Bible. It's not a real King James Bible. I've heard that argument before. And you know what? Establish and establish mean the same exact thing. Amen? It's all the same. But establish is an inward working of God and established external. That's some bovine scatology right there. A lot of it too as well. So it's the same exact thing. Whether you see establish or establish. The word that's used, it's called sterizo. And it simply means to set fast or to turn into a certain direction. That's the basic meaning of establish. And look, and by the way, it's the same word for establish as well. There's a couple places throughout the New Testament. It's only used in 9 verses, which we won't go to all of those verses today. But Luke 9:51, sterizo, says steadfastly set. Luke 16:26 is fixed. It was a gulf fixed. It was in its place. It was set in place. Luke 22:32 and Revelation 3:2 both say strengthen. Romans 1:11 and 2 Peter 1:12 say established. Romans 16:25, 1 Thessalonians 3:13, 2 Thessalonians 2:17, and where we are in 2 Thessalonians 3:3, it says establish. And 1 Thessalonians 3:2 says that it says establish. Oh, I think I had the wrong reference. I think that's First Thessalonians 3:2 says establish. All the same thing. Whether it is steadfastly set, strengthened, established, or fixed, or established. It means the same thing. That's what God desires to do with us as Christians. He wants you established in the faith. He wants it so that you're firm, set in place. I always like to use the military view or something you learn in sports. You know, you learn to keep your balance, keep your center of gravity, and so you don't fall off your position. That's what God's desire is for us to have. When we try to establish ourselves, guess what? Me, nowadays, if I try to establish myself on an unsteady foundation, I'm not going to be able to stand up. I need help in those situations. Right? If we try to do the work of trying to reform ourselves, it's not going to cut the mustard. It's going to be a failure. But it's the Lord that does that work. Our own works will fail. Religion will not establish oneself in the Lord. Why is that? Because religion says you got to do something. It's the old "you got a disease." You've got to do this. You have to do that. You must perform all these things. Nobody in the history of mankind has ever been able to do that. Only the Lord Himself. And by the Lord Himself, I mean the whole package, the Trinity. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all have a work in establishing or stabilizing the believer. Now, in the Old Testament, let's go over to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Now this is addressed to Solomon. Verse number 7 says, 17 rather. But let's go to verse number 16 instead of 17. It says, "For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shall observe my statutes and my judgments, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel." Then we can look at the turning away part. And the nation of Israel did turn away. But as I already said, in Romans chapter 11, the promises of God, the gifts of God were without repentance. God will not turn a back onto His promises that are here. That His kingdom, His throne would be established forever. So here's God's work. And man, is God the greatest chess player ever or what? He plays on a billion different levels. We hear of men that are smart enough to play on 4 levels. But God is on all levels. He had the audacity to use the virgin birth for the birth of the one who would rule and reign from that throne forever, from the seed of David. But establish here, that means that He is going to set firm His kingdom on this earth. It's difficult in the Old Testament because the word, there's one basic word that's used throughout, and man, I don't know how people can translate the Hebrew. It's simple, and the fact is less words, but those less words have many meanings. So the word is kuma. So next time you sing kumbaya, sing kuma, Lord, the Lord. Kuma, which literally or figurative, it means to abide, to accomplish, to be clearer, to confirm, continue, decree, be dim, endure, enemy, enjoin, get up, make good, help, hold, lift up again, make, but newly ordain, perform, pitch, rouse up, set up, establish, stand up, stir up, strengthen, succeed, or make sure. So what happens is you understand the context of how the word is used. And here, we can look at God's promises and His faithfulness that He will establish what He said He was going to do. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 6, which is, I should have gone there first. Exodus chapter 6. I just want to look at verses 1 through 4. And the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of the land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. Mic drop, throw everything else away. That's all that Moses need to hear. I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I'm going to stop right there, but look at God says, He established the covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan. Guess what? They still don't have the land of Canaan. But one day, God is going to fulfill those promises and establish the messianic kingdom when Christ returns. All those are faithful. That is God's faithfulness in establishing His will to be done. So being established, what does it mean for us? That we may know Christ? We may have the fellowship in Christ? That we may know Him and the power of His resurrection? Remember, without the resurrection, your faith is in vain. Knowing that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again is the way that we are established. We're established by faith in Christ for justification. We're established by the faith of Christ in our sanctification, our daily walk with Him. It's not because of anything else, but by the gospel. Going back to the beginning, being thankful for what He's done on our behalf. That's our motivation. If we ever have our motivation based on what I must do, we would fall right apart. Amen? We would be lost. We'd be fed up. How many times have you done that before? I'm tired of dealing with this. I quit. Happens with a lot of projects. I get started. I get tired of it. So you have a bunch of projects all started and nothing finished. I'm glad God's not like that. He promises even to us that He will finish the work in us. And the great reality is positionally He already has finished. I saved that without too much of a mess. He has already done through the gospel. Remember, we have everything that we need. Amen? Realize that. Appropriate that to your life. And it'll be so much better, as Greg was sharing about his son earlier, just going through those periods with a perspective that's in heaven rather than on earth makes a total difference in life and in godliness. Let's go back to our text. I probably shouldn't say this, but I thought to myself, I'm going to have a short message today. You know what usually happens? But I think it will be, actually. Back to verse number 3. It says, but the Lord is faithful. You know what I have underlined there? I have the word is highlighted. The Lord is faithful. If you want to see faithful, you look at the Lord. That's for your definition and your reality. The Lord who shall establish you, and look what else He'll do, and keep you from evil. That's a heavy duty. How are you going to do that, Lord? How does the Lord keep you from evil? We're in a crazy world, aren't we? I think I was texting with somebody. I said, crazy is an understatement about how the world has gone. I don't know if there's a worse word that you can use for how crazy the world has been. The things that are going on. It says, but the Lord will establish you and keep you from evil. How does He do that? Does He put us in a box? Lock us in a cave? My wife always said that about our girls. We're going to keep you in a cage until you're 30 to protect you. That's what she'd always say. But you can't do that, can you? Well, you could if you really wanted to. But but the reality, we're in the world. There's evil going around throughout the world. And by evil, that has to be defined by the context as well. There's wickedness that's a character trait of people. And there's evil, which are things that are harmful to someone. And there's a lot of both going on in the world. Here's how I defined crazy. I wrote down, it's a fact that we live in an evil, screwed up world. I think that's more definitive than crazy, isn't it? So what the best thing that we need to do, let's go over to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. Chapter 1. Let's go to verse number 17 of 1 Timothy chapter 1. Now, not next week. Now, unto the King, eternal, immortal, I put in immortal and invisible together. It's pretty good. Immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. There's a life verse if I have ever seen one. A declaration about the nature of God. He's the only one that's wise. He's the only one that's immortal and He's invisible. Verse number 18. This charge. We think of charge, immediately we think master charge. But this charge, this decree, this commendation I give unto you, I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Remember, we didn't have the completed canon of Scripture, so there were prophets still in the early church. They had until we had the close of canon after that time. So he had these prophecies that went before thee that thou mightest war a good warfare. How do you war a good warfare? Well, I'm gonna get me my Bible and I'm gonna beat somebody over the head with it. Like some people will do that. But this warfare, the weapons we know are not carnal. They're not flesh and blood. And I won't go there to Ephesians chapter 6. Here are the weapons, the warfare that it's talking about in verse 19. Holding faith and conscience. Holding faith and a good conscience. All right? Faith in the Lord. Looking to the Lord. Taking time to be with the Lord will change that old conscience into a good conscience. In other words, what that is, that good conscience is a conscience It's co-perceptive. All right? You have your conscience based on a lot of things going on in the world. And those things eat at your conscience. That's why Paul would later tell Timothy that people's consciences have been seared like a hot oven, like a hot iron. Their consciences have been programmed by this present evil world system. They've been made to replicate or duplicate what's going on in the world. Sadly, the church is conformed to the world. The world hasn't conformed to the church, even though that was the basis for a lot of the Protestant Reformation. Sometimes I like to call the Reformation the deformation, because it kept a lot of the elements that were from before. They kept a lot of the Roman Catholic things that they were trying to reform from, but they kept those same teachings. So this good conscience, how do you get a good conscience? You get a good conscience by the Word of God. By studying the Word of God. By knowing God personally. That's where that good conscience comes from. It's a moral conscience would be a good conscience as well. Believe me, without the Lord, you can try all the moral consciousness you want and it's going to go nowhere as well. The case of the believer becomes in agreement with God. Right? That's where we need to stand. We need to agree with God. I remember in the past, you're really resisting the fact that God did all the work in salvation, that He gave His Son Jesus Christ. I resisted that. I didn't agree with that. After all, I thought to myself, I agreed with my mom. My mom said to me, I'm a good boy. She was the closest person there was to me. She was quite the authority. I love my mom. But in the godly perspective that we have, none of us are righteous. I always think of Isaiah 64:6, which I don't know how that came into reading my Bible and reading that. All of our righteousness is as filthy rags. The good works that I think I do are putrid. God consciousness. Good conscience from God. The believer becomes more aligned, more in agreement with God than the course of this world. Remember, the course of this world, winds of doctrine, which push you in every direction, going back to being established. Have you tried doing that when the surf is high at the beach and you find a spot and you're going to stand, and as that undertow comes, all the sand disappears underneath your feet, but you stay standing for a while? That's what we ought to do with Christianity. No matter what's going on, the world underneath us and all around us could be fading. But we stand firm on what the Lord has done. So I like to sing, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen. It's so true. It's an agreement with God rather than the course of this world. He makes decisions based on that good conscience. Amen. Rather than making decisions based on the flesh, you, believers, you now have available to you, you now have the mind of Christ. I can now look at things not from the old earthly perspective, but I can look at things, I don't mean me personally. We can look at things through the eyes of the Lord. We can look at things through the eyes of grace rather than wrath. And you still remember the bully in high school that you still want to beat up. You know what we can do? We can go to the Lord and say, I forgive so-and-so. I haven't seen him in 40 plus years, but you know what he did? I forgive him. Guess who's clean? He doesn't even know that he was that person that you're forgiving. But forgiveness for a believer about others brings a good conscience as well. Those things that happened in the past, they're gone. Paul said, I press on to the mark, to the high calling of Christ. His great performance as a Pharisee, dung, counted all as dung for the excellency which is in Christ Jesus. Let's continue here in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Holding faith, and a good conscience, which some have put away concerning faith. I already mentioned the junk drawer before we started today. How many times have you run into people? You may be witnessing to them, say, you know, today is the day of salvation. Harden not your heart as they did in the wilderness. But later, I'll get to it sometime. When I'm old and dying, I'll believe the gospel. It happens all the time. I'm going to just put it away in that junk drawer. Just file the gospel in another place. Someday I'll need it. Tragically, Hymenaeus and Alexander, who were referenced in verse 20, they were believers. They were actually secure in their salvation. It says, I have delivered unto Satan, just like the man in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. It wasn't for his destruction of the soul. That Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. All right, you don't have to be delivered unto Satan, but you can still put away your faith and put it on the back burner, so to speak. Put that away, have made shipwreck. That faith becomes a shipwreck. Now, one is still saved and a shipwreck. But when you get away from the Lord and try to do things on your own, you're going to be paddling to the wrong drummer. You're going to be shipwrecked. Just like the person that's on a ship and he gets off course by just a half a degree. In the long run, he's going to go off course. And I think of today, we have a lot of technology, radar and sonar and all these different things that will prevent physical shipwrecks. But a believer can be, I almost did it again, a believer can be spiritually shipwrecked, left on an island, so to speak, of their own, and feeling alone and without God. Again, I just like that, they could be back in fellowship with the Lord. Boy, I'm happy now. I haven't been able to snap my fingers in a while. So with not keeping the faith that we have, in the forefront, in our minds, is a way towards being shipwrecked. And yes, we can, Christians, can be some of the most shipwrecked people they are. I see it all the time. It's like the problem is they take the Bible, tear all the pages out, tear it into pieces, and they throw it in a big bowl and have word salad. It doesn't make sense. But the Bible does make sense if you study it. Amen. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's go to, I'd love to go to verse 1. But remember, I said I'd be short today. So let's go down to verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Why? Verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth not walk as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Let me stop there for a second. Who being past feeling, their conscience has been seared. They've put that faith away, as Paul told Timothy. They have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness without greediness. People have a tendency to put Christ away, and that leaves them open, or the faith of Christ away, and leaves them open to temptation, to making the wrong decisions. I wrote something very philosophical down. The simple principle, garbage in, garbage out. We use that for computers mostly. I think my spam folder is much bigger than my inbox nowadays. But I'm glad that goes directly to the spam folder and I don't have to decipher every single thing there is and try to figure it out. Otherwise, I might get into some kind of marketing scheme. I don't know. But we grow in Christ. When we have good things in, guess what's produced? Good things come out. When we know Christ, guess what? We act more as a Christian. When we're not taking in the doctrines of the Lord, we're gonna churn out things that are ungodly rather than godly. Amen. Let's go back to 2 Thessalonians 3. I am gonna close this out here. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Remember, all the Lord's work, we just have to just trust Him and know Him more and more. And look at verses 4 and 5 are the things, the fruits of verse 3. It says, and I'm going to close here, but I'll go back to these verses next week. And we have confidence, where? We have confidence in you. It says, no, we have confidence in the Lord touching or concerning you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you. Right? When you know the Lord, that's when you do the things that are commanded by the Lord. And verse 5 is in closing. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. Amen. The love of God. Not your love for God, but the love of God. And this is always a good one. And the patient waiting for Christ. I get antsy sometimes, but we need to be patient waiting. In other words, in our lives, we need to learn patience until the Lord comes for His body. Amen. And that's where I'll leave it. The reality is the good news. I can say this as a matter of fact, that each and every one of us sitting here in this building, our destination was at one point hell and the lake of fire. Amen. That's a choice. You can choose to go to the lake of fire, or you can choose to believe the gospel. And the gospel is this, that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again. Salvation is a free gift. The only thing we can earn is damnation. Amen. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. No matter what. Even as believers, we need to believe the gospel. It goes for those who don't believe as well as those that do. So we don't rest on our laurels. We don't trust in our own works or anybody else's own works. We trust in the gospel. The God who came and died on the cross and was buried and has that empty tomb to prove that. Amen.